Welcome back to segment number two, Public Perspective, this morning here at the Mexico Public Safety Department with Chief Susan Rocket, Major Bryce Mesko. We talked a little bit about some numbers from 2019 in our first segment. You guys were alluding to the fact that it's hard to get people to come into law enforcement, and I'm hoping that you'll relay a little bit of a personal experience of what do officers go through on a daily basis? What do law enforcement officials go through on a daily basis?
Two different things.
Sure.
by a long shot. And, you know, the old adage, hackneyed adage is, it's boredom punctuated by panic or terror or something like that. And I guess that might be true. And you know, then in a smaller town, what we're called upon to do is different. Every town has a different requirements, I guess I should say. And so we like to spend a good portion of our time, you know, following up on things that are reported to us. And our solve rate is very high, and our solve rate is high in our felonies, and it goes on down, you know, through everything. We try to really address some quality of life issues, because that's what people are concerned about on a day-to-day thing. So we spend a lot of time doing that kind of thing, and it's a lot of phone calls, answering questions, and that kind of thing. So it's different every day, and that's what most of us like about it.
Major Mesko, yeah. For you?
Yeah, I think police work is slightly different than the other emergency response agencies, fire, medical, even like a joint communications, because police really are expected to, when there's not an emergency, to respond and help with. They're expected to go be proactive and do something preventative. And I think maybe what the police profession has taken it on the chin for is the other thing we deal with always are conflicts between people, not someone needing medical help, not someone's house burning down or needing rescued. It's conflicts between people, and anytime we go in there and try to decide who is right and who is wrong or who did what to whom, somebody's going to be mad no matter what. So. You know, these officers, they go to calls. Overall, we get a large, large amount of community support. Mm-hmm. And we have people come in here regularly bringing little things for the officers, thank yous of some kind. And that means a lot. Officers in general, what do you face? So yeah, you're out and about in all kinds of weather. You have the adrenaline dump things, maybe a fight, maybe something like that, that you would make it on TV. But there's a whole lot of talking to people who maybe aren't very happy with you, and then documentation. So much of what we do now is required to be documented, whether it be to go to court or whether it's because somebody wants to sue someone at a time later on and wants to use our information. So I think we've heard some officers, newer officers, talk about how in the academy they trained them on, say, the documentation or the maybe more boring stuff, but they did not realize how much that was a part of the police job, because it's not just what you see on various TV shows. So.
How would we compare as a public safety department here in Mexico to other towns about the size or having the same population as Mexico? How would you say we compare to those? Chief Rocket.
In what respect?
As far as operating town crimes, is it kind of a comparison with crimes as far as we see here in Mexico to other towns?
I think we're kind of below the crime levels that some other towns similarly situated are. And that's the one part of it. And the second leg, I think, of that is our clearance rate on the crimes that we do have, which is definitely higher than the national average, and I think that goes to us keeping that in control. And I like to say we run out the grounders, and I think that makes a big difference in how that the whole crime thing unfolds for us.
You know, I said towns of our size, but Columbia is pretty in close proximity, about 45 minutes away from us, and we've seen a lot of shooting incidents over there over the past several years. What about that in Mexico? Is that something that we are concerned about coming here, or are we pretty good with that?
We hope to keep that out of town, and we're trying to do that by that very fact of running out grounders and not letting anything get in a little toehold here for us, and to know that if you come here and do that, we will run that all the way out and find out and make and go to prosecution on that kind of thing.
Major Mesko, somebody who would come to you and think about going into law enforcement and says, you know, is this for me? What would you tell them?
Well, they have to decide that on themselves. Honestly, I think it's a beautiful, important, noble career choice, but it is not for everyone. I mean, there's shift work involved. There's wear and tear, maybe emotionally, and there you know, on family and loved ones, all that kind of stuff as well. So it's not for everyone, but I do still think it is a very, I don't want to say noble necessarily, but a great profession. So, yeah.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about the schools too, because you guys have school resource officers here. Two of them, I believe. A new gentleman had been coming in, Officer Carey. I'm trying to remember his last name.
It is
Officer Carey. Okay. So I did remember it, but he is coming in as a school resource officer. Of course, Officer Patrick has been here for several years. What is the importance of having a school resource officer in the schools?
We are very proud of the tradition of school resource officers that we've had come from Mexico, and we take it as a very serious position, and we try to be very careful in who we choose to take over that that job, because of the fact of the population that they're dealing with, the nature of the delicate way that sometimes interactions have to be handled, and just the overall safety of the students and staff and teachers at the schools are very important and in the forefront of our thinking right now. And so we try to be careful with that. We think that we've had a good tradition, a good legacy of maintaining that, and we give them all the support that we can to make sure that goes well for them and for the schools.
Certainly.
Yeah, our partnership with the schools has been great for a long time. We kind of joke sometimes that, you know, Mexico is somewhat built around the schools. I mean, it is a very large employer. The rush hour traffic times in Mexico aren't necessarily 8 and 5, like, because of factory work. It's more like just before and after school. So it is very important. It'd be important in any community, but in particular here. And having the school resource officers in the buildings obviously has all the known effects that they have in any district, but our communication mostly with administration all the way up, the teamwork that we've always exhibited, I think is really second to none, and I think there's been all kinds of benefits from it.
You know, every once in a while we'll see that story out there where a kid has brought a BB gun to school, or there's been an incident on a school bus. I'm wondering what it's like to, you know, in that situation. Of course, other people may perceive it as more of a crisis than what it actually is. How do you guys deal with that? Do you get involved with the schools and putting out a release on that to the community, or how does all that work?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's, again, just teamwork and communication, because in the school's position, you know, you see this in everything, everywhere, but in the school's position, they will be criticized no matter how and what information they release. Some will say it's too fast, so it's inaccurate. Some will say it's too slow. And really, they are always wanting to get the information out there, but not create an undue panic, because an undue panic is actually probably more dangerous than the threat itself. So we work with them. As soon as anything like that comes up, we are instantly communicating with them, their public information officer, and trying to decide how it is best for the community to be alerted. And that's how it goes.
I know there's an immediacy sometimes, too, that the parents want to know right now what's going on. Sometimes their kid has that cell phone out in school, and they're in real time telling them what's going on. Of course, some of that information may not be correct.
That's exactly
Is that the standard to get the information out correct, not necessarily as quick as we can?
I think that you're having to balance both of those things, and it also has to be balanced with how much fanfare does something really need. And that, you know, we have worked to try to develop the kind of trust that the public would have, that that we are making those decisions, that this was not really, you know, what it came over Facebook being. This is not what actually happened. And if that would ever happen, we would have dealt with it differently. So we really want to do things in the most even keel way that we can, so that trust can be developed, that they will say, oh, well, if public safety and the schools are not making a big deal about it, it probably wasn't a big deal.
I was going to talk to you guys a little bit about social media today, too. Of course, you have your local media, and then you have some social media sites that put some unfavorable things out there about certain organizations. Do you have to respond to those things, or how do you deal with those kinds of issues?
No, we can't respond to those kind of things. Someone can get a stopped and not even really get a ticket and make a whole deal out of it that's not necessary. And if we ran around trying to put those fires out, that'd be a full-time job. And it would look like that we were trying to put those fires out. And so we put out the information that we can put out to the best that we can do, the best speed, the best degree of accuracy, and the balancing of the personal information of the people involved with what the public needs to know.
Certainly. And I know there's such scrutiny on law enforcement in their personal posts on whichever Facebook, whatever Twitter that they're using. What do you tell new folks in there? And what's the general policy about posting personal things?
And we do address that with people. And on time to time that comes up, and we do have to have discussions with people to kind of rein that in. People get, get confused about how much they can and should share with the public. But that's not the future, that's right now. So we're trying to deal with that and get everyone inured to dealing with that so that it doesn't become a distraction for the department or the community.
And it's really not even a new concept, it just has a new wrinkle. I mean, officers, fair or not, have always been scrutinized to some degree on what they do in their personal lives. The difference is now, if they do something ill-advised on social media, it's not going to go away, and the word can spread much quicker. So, which people face in their every profession, and every person and kids all face that in their personal life as well. So it's really, we would just, officers do need to be careful because it is judged, and then follow the same social media rules that we're having everybody follow, or we would like everyone to follow. So.
Understand that completely, guys. And we'll take our second break here, and we'll come back and we'll finish things up with a final segment on public perspective this morning on AM 1340 KXEO.